Welcome to Brave, the Bible teaching ministry of Dr. Jeff Schwarzentraub, senior pastor of Brave Church in Denver, Colorado. God has called his church to take the good news of Jesus into the world. That's our mission as disciples of Christ, and this ministry exists to challenge brave warriors for courageous kingdom advancement. To learn more about Brave or give a gift to help make programs like the one today possible, head to bravepastorjeff.com. Again, that's bravepastorjeff.com. Today on Brave, Pastor Jeff continues his message, God's Plan for Marriage, A Vow to Oneness, from the series Family Fortified, and explores how marriage isn't just a union, it's a divine calling to reflect God's image and thrive in oneness. Now let's hear from Pastor Jeff as he brings us today's teaching from God's Word.
Men, we're like the thermos. You can drop us, kick us, it's like no big deal. We're good. Women, you can't talk to a woman that way. Men and women talk differently. We learn to talk differently. From the time we're young, we talk differently. Men, we're very direct in what we say and we don't really offend each other. Like guys talk like this to guys, you know? Like, bro, you're kind of fat. What have you been doing? Have you been eating a lot of chips? Or that was one of the stupidest things I've ever seen. Or when you did that was just dumb. And guys will say, yeah, it kind of was. Yeah, I've been eating too much. I need to work out. I've never seen women talk to each other that way. Never seen somebody enter through the worship center and be like, woman, man, you are fat. Y'all don't talk that way to each other. Right? Men and women, we talk different. We communicate different. We think different. It's why God created us. So we have to show honor to each other. And there's all sorts of different ways to show honor. Honor means to bless with our words, to esteem highly. In Proverbs 31, you see the children rise up and bless their mother. They call her blessed, and the husband starts chiming in, like, no. There's many women out there, but you outshine them all. I'm blessing, you can bless your spouse with your words. Don't get in little groups where you do husband bashing and wife bashing. Never do that. You're going to bless with your words. You're going to bless with your speech. You're going to bless with your time. One of the reasons that I bring my wife on the platform after every service when she's not homesick like she is today is because I'm showing honor to her. Because what you guys don't know that I know is I wouldn't stand here if she wasn't the woman that she is. If there's any good thing that you hear from the Lord on a Sunday, it's because I'm married to a woman that preferences me, that allows me to do what God's called me to do. She's great. Amen. And she needs to be shown honor. So we bless our wives with our words. We bless our wives with our actions. We bless our husbands with our words. We bless our husbands with our actions. And as it says, you know, a bell is not a bell until you ring it, and a song is not a song until you sing it. Well, a blessing is not a blessing until you speak it. Well, my spouse knows I love him. Have you told him? When's the last time you told him that? When's the last time that you told him why you believe that? I mean, you're showing honor. It's esteeming, it's praising. Do it through speech, do it through your actions. And here's a pro tip for you. Love and bless your spouse for who they are rather than gripe about what they are not. Do you hear what I said? Love and bless your spouse for who they are rather than gripe about what they are not. When you're dating, the enemy blinds you and only lets you see all the good about the person that you're marrying. And there is a lot of good about the person you're marrying. But you don't see any of the other stuff and you don't know any of the other stuff yet because you're not married yet. And that's why every engaged couple is like, you don't get it. We are truly in love. And out of the billions of people that lived on the planet, we're the only two that have ever gotten it right. Like we love it. You don't even know how much we love it. We're awesome together, right? Because you're two individuals and Satan's like, okay, go for it. And then you get married and you know what he does? He lets you have amnesia about the things that you loved, about why you got married, and start thinking about all the things that your spouse doesn't have. And your spouse has a lot of things that are valuable, and your spouse has some things they'll never have. So esteem them for what they do have and quit looking around for what they don't and quit comparing your spouse to somebody else that needs to have that. I know the things that I'm good at. I know the things I'm not good at. When we got married, we had a lot of pictures from our wedding. We're hanging them in our house. And I told my wife, I'm like, there's no way I'm hanging those pictures. There'll be three times as many holes as there are pictures on our wall. I said, call your dad. So she called her father and she said, I heard her on the phone. She said, Dad, can you come over and hang those pictures? And I could hear his voice. He said, no, Kim, you're married now and Jeff is your man. You should ask him to do that. And she's like, he's the one that told me to call you. I'll never hang pictures. I'm not good at hanging pictures. I'm never going to be good at hanging pictures. She had a father that did everything and could build things and lived on a farm and could put engines back together. My brother the other day asked me, because he was having some trouble with his laundry machine. He was making a joke when I was over at his house, and the whole thing was taken apart. He's like, Jeff, you want to help me with this drum? I said, sure, I'll help you. It'll take me about 30 seconds. And I got on, it was Lowe's.com, and I held up, you want $600, $1,000, $1,500? All you do is hit the button, bro. They'll come right out. Because that's how I fix things. What happens is you get married, and you get married because you like certain things, but then you don't like those certain things after you get married. I loved my wife when we were dating because she's the most spontaneous, fun person I've ever been around. She can live in the moment better than anybody. I love that. That's why I married her until we got married, because then it was time to grow up and be on time. And I would tell her on Sunday morning, like, hey, we're leaving. She'd say, I'm almost ready. Almost ready meant, give me about another 20 minutes. Almost ready to me means we're sitting in the car. And I don't know how many times we drove to church, and I'd be mad before we even got there because we're going to be late, and I hate that. And I remember one time I was at a funeral. I was officiating, and her mom's best friend had died. And there were about 300 people in this small town, and they were at this school and this big gym, and they had tables and food and everything. And I was there, and I greeted everybody very quickly, and we talked and all this stuff. And then everybody started dwindling. I was telling Kim, hey, let's go. And she's like, okay, just a minute, and let's go, just a minute. At the end of the day, it was her dad standing next to me by a wall, and it was her mom and her and one other lady, and we were the only five people left. And I don't play poker very well, and I'm sure my face looked like, what the heck is going on here? And her dad just looked down at me with some great wisdom and said, don't worry, you'll get used to it. And I was so mad. I used to pray about that stuff. And you know what the Lord showed me? He took me to stories in the Bible where he would go to a place, and Jesus, who had the most impressive ministry of anybody who's ever lived, and then he had time to stay there for 3 or 4 hours or stay a couple extra days or spend time with people. And God began to show me, your wife's so much more relational than you, and I value that more than I value your time. Can you just appreciate her for who she is? Change me, right? So appreciate what the person brings and not what they don't have, right? Because the enemy will always get, they don't have this, they don't have everything. Jesus has everything. That's who you need to invite into your marriage. Your spouse doesn't have everything. Just esteem them for what they do have and value them for what they do have and quit looking around for what they don't. Amen? That's what he wants. And then when you preference them, can I say another word about preference? It's really interesting because in premarital, we'll ask people like we were asked, do you guys share the same values? And inevitably, oh yes, we see the world the exact same way. And we laugh, you know, because I'm like, you don't. You just think you do. And I would say, marry somebody that has very similar values to you. Marry somebody that has similar Christian values, family values. Marry somebody most like you, because when you get married, you're going to realize how different you actually are. One of you is going to like to save, and one of you is going to like to spend, and one of you is going to like to stay up late, and one of you wants to go to bed early. And there's just all sorts of differences, even if you share macro values. But when you preference one another, whether it's how you plate food, or you do a buffet style, or how you squeeze a toothpaste tube or roll toilet paper. I mean, you can get in arguments over the dumbest things in a marriage because you're not preferencing one another, and who really cares? But you have opportunity every day to say, you know what, that's the way you want it. I want to do it your way. I'm going to preference you. I'm going to make sure you're satisfied doing that, because at the end of the day, it's not that big of a deal. And here's the truth, and every married couple understands this, that unmet expectations cause more frustration and hurt than about anything else. So here's a pro tip. Don't assume your spouse understands or sees what you see, because they don't. They don't see what you see. They just don't see it. And they don't, even if they did see it, they wouldn't see it in the same way. Like, there were times early in our marriage where my wife was like, don't you see your clothes on the floor? I'm like, yeah, that's why I stepped over them. You know, I mean, and so you have to have these conversations about, oh, that's a value to you, to put it in the hamper. And it's not a value to me, but it's a value to you. And because I value you, I'll put it in the hamper so that you don't have to see it and look at it. And it takes a little extra time, and it's okay, right? And we have to have conversations. We have to tell each other, and you got to have enough honesty in your relationship that you can have these conversations. I mean, even this year, we had a conversation. I was having a conversation with my wife, and she says, you never really helped me with the dishes. And out of all the chores in the home, that's the one I hate more than anything. I'll help with laundry. I'll help with, and don't make me do, I hate doing the dishes. I said, I just don't like it. She's like, well, you do it a lot of times, like if your family or friends are over. And so you're like tricking them to believe you actually helped me, but you don't. And I said, well, it's not purposeful. And so I've started to help clear the table and clean dishes, and I hate doing it, but I do it because my wife values that, and it's encouraging to her. Am I perfect at this? No. Am I growing in this? Yes. And that's what we need to do. We need to preference each other and value each other because it's important to them. It needs to be important to you. And that's how we show the imago Dei in a relationship. Don't assume that your spouse sees it or understands. You have to have conversation. You have to say, when this happens, this is how I feel, and it would mean a lot to me if. Those kind of conversations need to go on all the time. Let me give you a third one. This is where people start a lot of times in marriage, and there's certain parts of this that singles you cannot participate in, but there's certain parts that you can, and it's intimacy. You have an opportunity for intimacy, and intimacy involves trusting one another. You have to trust one another.
You're listening to Brave. And today, Pastor Jeff is sharing his message, God's Plan for Marriage, A Vow to Oneness, from the series Family Fortified, exploring how marriage isn't just a union. It's a divine calling to reflect God's image and thrive in oneness. We'll get back to Pastor Jeff in just a moment. But first, we want to help you be ready to courageously stand for kingdom values each day. That's why we want to invite you to become a Brave Warrior by signing up for email updates from Pastor Jeff. As a Brave Warrior, you'll get exclusive first-look access to exciting new content, ministry updates, and resources to help you fight the good fight of faith and boldly pursue the fulfillment of the Great Commission. To become a Brave Warrior, simply go to BravePastorJeff.com to sign up. Once again, that website is BravePastorJeff.com. We look forward to hearing from you. Now, let's get back to Pastor Jeff to listen to the conclusion of his teaching from God's Word today.
Let me give you a third one. This is where people start a lot of times in marriage, and there's certain parts of this that singles you cannot participate in, but there's certain parts that you can, and it's intimacy. You have an opportunity for intimacy, and intimacy involves trusting one another. You have to trust one another. It's interesting in Genesis chapter 2, verse 25, it says, "For this reason, a man will leave his father and mother, cleave to his wife, and the two will become one flesh." When you become one flesh, your mom and dad are now your extended family. Your brothers and sisters are now your extended family. Your cousins and their extended family, because you and your wife are now family. Now, they're still valuable extended family, but you're family. You get to make the decisions. But notice what it says next. "And the man and his wife were both naked, and they were not ashamed." I think this has more to do with just physical nakedness. Certainly they were physically naked. Certainly they didn't feel any shame. But one of the reasons they didn't feel any shame is they didn't have any emotional, mental, spiritual, or relational shame either. They were free to be who they were in the relationship. And the only way you can be free emotionally, mentally, spiritually, relationally, and physically is to build trust. Trust. Let me tell you this, the number one sex organ you have, the most important sex organ you have that you bring into a marriage is your mind. It's your mind. It's how you think about that person you're with. Guys that are into pornography, gals that are into pornography, you've tricked your mind into fantasy, believing something about that person that you don't know, that picture you don't know anything about, believing something about them that you don't even know, and it's totally false. It's your mind that takes you there. That's what leads it. So intimacy starts with the mind, and intimacy starts with honesty and trust. It's building. You want to scale intimacy in your marriage? Scale the honesty in your marriage. Means this. Pro tip, don't have any secrets from your spouse. Kim and I were talking about this week, and I was telling her, I don't think I have, if I do have a secret, it's not a secret secret. There's nothing I have in me that's trying to keep something from you. Perhaps there's things you don't know about me. But if you ask me about it, you can know everything about me. You can read my emails. You can see my texts. I mean, you and me were one. We have transparency, and you want to be able to do that. And if you don't have transparency and you don't have that trust, you cannot have intimacy in a marriage. Now, we'll talk about sexual intimacy here in a minute. But if you're dating somebody and you don't trust them, don't marry them. See, there's a lot of people that think, well, marriage will fix everything. Here's what marriage will do. It will take everything that you're feeling now and multiply it by a factor of infinity. You don't trust them now? Wait till you get married how much you won't trust them. They don't value you now? Wait until you get married as to how much they won't value you. They don't listen to you now? Wait till you get married how much they won't listen to you. I mean, so as you're building, you're asking the questions when you're dating, can I really trust this person? Am I able to share my heart with this person? Do they listen to me? Do they value me? Are they honest with me? Do they lie to me about little white lie things, or are they truthful about things, even when it costs them? Honesty is everything to intimacy. Everything to intimacy. And so that's why I said, be grateful when your spouse is willing to be honest, even when you don't want to hear it. Because truth goes a long, long way in your marriage. When you can be free to share who you are and what you think, and they're free to share who they are and what they think, it's a big deal. It's a big deal. So be grateful. But intimacy, when the world talks about it, they just talk about sex. But intimacy is way more than sex. It's time, it's touch, it's gifts, it's service, it's affirmation. It's everything we've been talking about. It's listening, it's preferencing, it's trusting. All those things build into what's going on. And here's the problem. In most relationships where there's problems that show up in sexual intimacy, 95 to 99% of the time, they're not physical issues. They may show up as physical issues. They're emotional, spiritual, relational, trust issues that make it difficult to connect in that kind of way, right? And here's what I would say. If you've married somebody and you've married a spouse and they've been hurt in some way like that, they've been sexually abused, they've been hurt relationally, they've been spiritually abused, then guess what you need to do? You need to take more time. You need to honor more. You need to value more. You need to listen more. You need to build more. Because here's how God developed intimacy in a marriage. Here's what you need to understand about sexuality. Sexuality, the way God designed it, is to serve one another in love in the context of marriage. And that is the only way to experience sexual fulfillment and intimacy the way God designed. There, you can't do it outside of marriage. You can't do it before marriage. That's called fornication. You can't do it after marriage. That's called adultery. You can't do it with porn because you're doing it by yourself. I mean, it's all about serving one another. It's all about serving one another in love. And if you care about your spouse, then you're building them in such a way where they can enjoy that relationship together. And it should be part of the relationship. God thinks so much about it that he wrote a whole book called The Song of Solomon that talks about it through all those chapters about how intimate marriage can become. And he pulls no punches and he's not blushing. And then the New Testament, he talks about it too in 1 Corinthians chapter 7. You need to understand if you're single, this is the part you can't participate in. Singleness, you're called to celibacy until you choose to get married. That's it, right? I mean, that's what the Bible teaches. But in marriage, it changes and it's different. And let me say this too, for some of you who have heard sex is bad, sex is bad, sex is bad, sex is bad, sex is bad. It's marriage night, sex is great, and you can't flip the switch. I want to tell you this, sex is great because our God designed it on day six. And he had it in his heart from eternity past, and he's not ashamed about it. It's good if it's in the context of a fulfilling marriage. Okay? Listen to what 1 Corinthians 7 says as Paul is writing, inspired by the Spirit, to the Corinthian church. He says in 1 Corinthians 7:1, "Now concerning the things which you wrote, it's good for a man not to touch a woman. If you're single, it's good not to have your hands on each other, because that person doesn't belong to you. You're not one with them. You're not in covenant together. You haven't vowed together. But because of immoralities, each man is to have his own wife and each woman is to have her own husband." That's why God designed marriage. That's why God designed your gender. That's why for most of you that have that sexual desire, God designed it to be in the covenant of marriage. It says this, "The husband must fulfill his duty to the wife and likewise also the wife to her husband. The wife does not have authority over her body, but the husband does, and likewise, the husband does not have authority over his own body, but the wife does." Why? Because you're not your own anymore. When you get married, you chose in oneness to serve the other one in love, so you're not in charge. You're there to serve the other person in every way, including sexual intimacy. This is one that some guys would want as a plaque on their house, but 1 Corinthians 7:5 says, "Stop depriving one another except by agreement for a time, so you may devote yourselves to prayer and come together again so that Satan will not tempt you because of your lack of self-control." Here's what he's saying. In a marriage, don't use marriage as a tool to punish one another. In a marriage, sex should be frequent. The only time that it shouldn't be ongoing and regular in a marriage is when both spouses have agreed in this season, no, because we need to devote ourselves more to prayer. We need to seek God together, and only then for a period of time so that you can come back together and not be tempted by the enemy. Sex is not a way to say, well, you didn't take out the trash, nothing for you tonight. That's nowhere do you find that anywhere in the Bible. And again, If your spouse has been through abuse or hurt or say, I can't get there, then it's your job as the other spouse to encourage them and build them and listen to them and talk to them and over time get to a place where you can show them honor in that way. But it should be ongoing and it should be frequent. I get this question all the time. How frequent, Pastor? I'm confused. Because I would like to see frequency be every day, and my spouse is kind of on the once a year thing. And then I would say, well, then compromise every other day. We're good, right? I mean, that's kind of the way you work it out. Because again, it's not about you, it's about them, it's about pleasing them. And by the way, God makes it really clear here that sexual fulfillment is good for a woman and for a man. It's to be pleasurable for a woman and a man. Don't buy the lie that it's only pleasurable for men. It's not true. God designed intimacy to be legitimate between a couple that is in covenant, that trusts one another, is honest with one another, values one another, preferences one another. That's just a natural outpouring of what it is. And it should be fun. And it should be pleasurable. I mean, my wife's not here today, but you guys know her. I mean, you see her. She's smiling all the time. That's a big reason why. I mean, she's not embarrassed by that. I'm not embarrassed by that. My kids were embarrassed in the first service, and I told them, that's why you're here. So don't, you know. And I'm not trying to make light of this. I'm just saying that is a God-given gift. And here's what happens. When God gives us a gift, what does Satan try to do? He tries to destroy it. Some of you feel destroyed because in your singleness or in your marriage, you've done some things wrong, and I got news for you. God can redeem all of it through the blood of Jesus. Some of you that are single say, I wish I would have heard this before. I wouldn't have done this. I wouldn't have been in that. Some of you would say, well, it was my dad or my uncle or I didn't have any control over it. I want to tell you something. God can redeem all of it through Christ. He can. Amen? He can. We're going to spend a whole day on that coming on and as to how he can do it because he loves you that much. And he wants you to enjoy what he gave you. And that's why Satan goes to great lengths to use television, to use everything. I mean, you can't see an advertisement for anything without sex trying to be part of what sells it. But here's what you can know from biblical truth. There's no such thing as a pleasurable one-night stand. There's no such thing as a fulfilling, we just met in a bar and now we're great. There's no such thing as sex outside of marriage that's producing what God describes in his word. It doesn't work. It can't, because you can't have relational, emotional, spiritual intimacy. And God's not involved in that. But when you're in the marriage, you can have Holy Spirit worship sex, and God's a part of it, and he designed it, and he said it's good. He's the one that created it. You can't do that apart from a covenantal marriage vow. Amen? And he wants us all to grow in this. Let me give you a fourth one. Because for some of you, like, listening to this, like, oh, I wish I would have known. I mean, how do I even get there? That's why God gave us number four. You're going to have opportunities for oneness every day in your marriage. You're going to have a regular opportunity for prayer. Prayer. Intercede for one another. Intercede for one another. Pray for one another. Jeremiah 33:3 says, call to me and I will show you great and mighty things you do not know. I'll tell you things about your spouse. I'll tell you things about your marriage. I'll tell you about what you need to change in yourself and who you need to be. Proverbs 3:5-6, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not lean on your own understanding. All your ways acknowledge him. He'll make your path straight. It means this, pray for your spouse. Pray for your spouse. Praying's intimate. I mean, when you pray for your spouse, and when I'm talking about praying for your spouse, I'm not praying for, don't pray for your spouse. God, change them. Just pray for your spouse. Pray blessing over your spouse. Pray favor over your spouse. Pray that God would move in your spouse's life. Pray that God would open their hearts to all the things that he wants to do in and through them. I mean, pray for them. Pray for how they're parenting, or pray for their relationship with you, and pray for areas that you see that they need growth in and what God's revealed to you, and just ask God to move on your behalf for them. Here's why you pray for your spouse. You can't change your spouse. Did you know that? That's totally free of charge. It may be the most important point I tell you all day. You can't change your spouse. You can't change your spouse by talking to them, and you certainly can't change your spouse by nagging them.
Thanks for listening to Brave. That was Pastor Jeff with his message, God's Plan for Marriage, A Vow to Oneness, from the series Family Fortify, exploring how marriage isn't just a union. It's a divine calling to reflect God's image and thrive in oneness. If you've been blessed by today's teaching, we invite you to give a gift to help keep this program going strong. To give, visit bravepastorjeff.com. That's bravepastorjeff.com. But before we wrap up, We also would like to invite you to join us for weekend services at Brave Church. Visit in person at any of our campuses, Englewood, Westminster, and our newest location in Colorado Springs. Or you can join us right from home through our weekend live stream. Visit bravechurch.online. Scroll down and click the Brave Church link at the bottom for details and directions. Thanks for joining us today.